You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. How impressive is it that all five Czech teams won their games in the European Cup? What happened in the Baník Ostrava Copenhagen penalty shootout? Will Sparta and Slavia Prague make it to the Champions League group stage? And what does the phrase back on track mean? Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Footglish podcast, the best podcast for football crazy learners of English. My name is Zdeněk Lukas, and here is another episode for you. And today I'm joined by a special guest, a Czech commentator, a football commentator from Canal Plus Sport TV. Am I saying it right? Štěpán, hi.
You are, yes. Yes, you are saying it right. Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So, Štěpán is your name, and you were recommended to me by Karel Tvaroch.
Yeah. It's as I said, it's a great pleasure, and Karel is a huge professional. And we used to play together at Sparta Prague Academy. I do not remember so much about him because he's like 5 years younger than me.
I see.
I remember him as a small boy, and now we are working together. So it's quite a nice story.
Mm-hmm. So you have a similar sort of journey. You were in professional football, but let's say you didn't make it to the top. But now you're doing that in journalism, or sports journalism, we could say, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think the experience from the professional football or football in general helped us a lot, you know, because it gives you discipline, and you can use it even in the journalism career.
Absolutely. I think it gives you also a unique perspective, but mostly we have, like, the most common way is that you get ex-players, like very successful players. I don't know, Karel Poborský, they are also great, but I think your story is different. I think for them it's kind of almost like lined up for them, right? They always get get that position because everyone knows them, everyone wants them. For you guys, it's maybe a little bit harder, but that's why only the best make it. So I think I'm talking to a great, maybe up-and-coming journalist, Štěpán, because you still seem very young.
30 years old. So It depends. It depends on the view. But I consider myself still young in this profession. Yeah. So hopefully a lot of potential and big things coming up.
Well, you're definitely young compared to me, so that's for sure. But we're not going to talk about our age here today on the Footglish podcast. We are here to cover the crazy, I would say absolutely mad week, a game week, European week of the Czech clubs, which no one expected, I guess. Štěpán, what do you think? So we had five teams, right, in the European Cups, and all of them won their games.
Yeah, all of them won their games, but unfortunately, Ostrava didn't make it through the penalty shootout, which was quite crazy because I think four players missed their penalty and three of them hit it over the crossbar, which is, I would say, unusual for a penalty shootout in an adult game. I think I experienced it in the youth level, but, you know, it's always hard after 120 minutes of football, and football in the European Cup, which has like super high intensity. But
Absolutely.
still, at least you have to hit the goal.
Yeah, I thought it was quite bizarre, actually. Like, I was watching it yesterday. I don't know whether I didn't know whether I should laugh or cry. It was so weird. I had seen something similar. There was I think it was a Japanese Cup. I don't know if you've seen this video, where like nine penalties in a row were missed. And it also includes the player Iniesta. Iniesta was playing for one of the Japanese clubs, and he was the one that scored the last penalty, and then his team won the cup. But nine players before him, or something like that, missed missed the penalty. So that actually this penalty shootout of Baník Ostrava against Copenhagen reminded me of that.
Yeah, I didn't see the match, to be honest, but I know he's playing for Vissel Kobe, I think.
And oh, he's still there? Is he still there? Okay.
I think he's still there, or maybe he retired the last season, but to be honest, I'm not quite sure. But yeah, it happens in football, and I think we are going to remember it for a long time.
Yeah, like it was just incredible. Do you think the pitch were also partially to blame for such scuffed penalty shots?
I think it may be because I saw that the condition of the pitch wasn't the best. And sometimes the TV spectators don't see it so clearly, like the players on the pitch, because sometimes the penalty spot is quite, I would say, not in the best condition. So I think it may be. When I saw the technique of the kick of the Baník Ostrava players, something seems a little bit off. So I would say that influenced the penalty shootout.
Even the Copenhagen players missed, I think, two penalties, so it just seemed a bit weird.
Yeah.
And this is the only sort of thing that marred that fantastic week for the Czech clubs, because Baník Ostrava won their game 1-0, but that meant the tie was even, and it had to go to penalties, and they lost that.
Yeah. And they were really unlucky, because the first game in Copenhagen, they lost 1-0, and the goal was scored, I think, in the stoppage time of the second half. So they played really well, but unfortunately, maybe some lack of European experience. I think it can, in a longer perspective, it can make them even better. But right now, they are definitely sad about it.
And definitely they were playing so well against them. They were almost the better team, I would say. Definitely in Copenhagen, I thought they were the better team. And nobody expected. Because Copenhagen, weren't they in the playoffs of Champions League last season or something like that? Right?
They were in the round of 16. They played against Manchester City, which is crazy. I think they lost 1-0 in the group stage at Old Trafford against Manchester United. Then they beat them at home. Like, the team is really strong. I think they lost the goalkeeper, Kamil Grabara, who went to Wolfsburg, to Germany. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, the team is, I would say, almost the same, even with the head coach.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, the other teams did much better. So let's talk about Mladá Boleslav, for example. That was a bit unexpected as well, what happened in that game, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think they were 2-0 down after the halftime in the second match. And a lot of people criticize Mladá Boleslav because of their previous experiences or previous matches in the European Cups. Because I wouldn't say always, but mostly they lost. But this time, they made amazing comeback. I think, once again, I will use the phrase, there was a lack of discipline by the Israeli players.
So that's Beer Sheva.
maybe for Czechs, it would be better if it's Beer Sheva, but I think it's Beer Sheva.
Yeah, but if you look at the spelling, actually, right? The spelling is like B-E-E-R. So it looks like it's beer, but you are right. It's probably pronounced as bear for some reason.
But I like the pronunciation beer, to be honest. So then they scored 4 goals and won 4-2. A lot of emotions. Yeah. The match was played, I think it's important to mention, in Lovech. I know that the city is called Lovech in Czech, but I don't know if it has some special English word for the city.
It's possible, but basically not in Israel because of the war situation. So it's a it was a disadvantage for the Israeli team, let's be honest.
Definitely. I saw some Israeli flag in the stands, but still, if you play the match in Bulgaria, you cannot expect a lot of supporters from Israel to come.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. So Plzeň, I mean, it's just another professional performance from them. It seems like these only just keep on coming from them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say they are a European team in terms of their success in the European Cups, because I have to mention the last season, their European campaign, they reached the quarterfinals of the Conference League, which is like a super success when you look at the style, how they operate in the modern football. They, I would say, mostly sell the best players.
Yeah.
They get a good amount of money. They get the players from the Czech League, some African players, and they just implement them into the team like in a brilliant way. So I think we have to give huge respect, and I have huge admiration for Mr. Kobek, who is the head coach. And even though he's, I think, 70 or maybe
70
over,
or 72 or something, right? The oldest coach in the Czech League.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't give you that impression at all, though. Absolutely. Not only by his looks, but just the way he is able to respond to anything tactical happening in the game is just brilliant. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Only words of admiration, as you said. A lot of respect for him, honestly. And it's like, for me, Plzeň is this robotic European team. They just keep on winning. Usually by one goal, it's just what they do, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of people, I wouldn't say they didn't have so much respect for Krivbas, for their opponent, but they were underestimating them.
Yeah.
But there is a really interesting story about their coach, who I don't know the name, I'm really sorry, but he was the head coach of Sheriff Tiraspol, who played 2 years ago in the Champions League. And they won at Santiago Bernabeu against Real Madrid. I think they won like 2-1 or 3-2. And then when the Russian invasion to Ukraine started, because he is Ukrainian, he joined the army. Mm-hmm. Then he had like 6 months break from coaching. And then he joined Krivbas. And from a, I would say, mediocre team, they were competing for the highest spots in the Ukrainian league. They finished third. And I was really eager to see how they're going to compete against Pilsen. And I would say they were quite good, but as you said, Pilsen was better, and they are just robotic in the European Cups.
That's right. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I think I heard it about this coach that he was in the army. So yeah, on the front line. So yeah, you're right. Mm. Okay, and then we have the two most well-known Czech clubs. So obviously you have some sort of affiliation with Sparta Prague, right? You work for them, there's a podcast called Sparta Unlimited, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And you are involved in that.
I would say Sparta Unlimited is a paid platform that Sparta launched before the season. Mm-hmm. And they have like a lot of bonus content, like interviews, podcasts, then the studio that we are doing after each league match. And it's like super interesting because I've never been a host before. Mm-hmm. So it's like quite new experience, and it's great. Yeah. And of course, I simply cannot hide it because I used to play for Sparta. So yeah, I'm a Sparta fan as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, great. So I guess we can talk about Sparta a little bit here. So are you happy with the way they dealt with the Romanian team FC SB, the former Steaua Bucharest?
Yes, yes. So happy about it, because the first game was, I would describe it as a so-so, because Sparta played... I would say under their level, under their standards, they were underachieving, but still, they managed to get a draw, at least a draw, even though they scored a goal to make it 2-1 in the stoppage time, but it was disallowed because there was a clear foul.
Yep.
And then in the second game, 3-0 after the halftime, it was like the stuff made of dreams. I was, I thought I was dreaming, you know, I was so frenetic while cheering for them. Even I was only at home in Prague watching it on TV. And then during the second half, I think I started the second half as a 30-year-old man. And after the final whistle was blown, I was like 45, maybe 50, because it took a lot of nerves to watch the second half and the end of the game.
Yeah, no, that was incredible. But obviously, what counts is the fact that Sparta knocked them out, and that's what matters at the end of the day, right? There were some problems. You could see some issues there. For example, you have an Ecuadorian player, Angelo Preciado, yeah? And he has been one of the revelations in the Czech league, like one of the players we haven't really seen on the Czech soil much because of his technical ability. It's really another level. No wonder he's linked with Everton, the Premier League team. But there are some issues with him as well, right?
Yeah, it seems like his head isn't like set on a good mindset. I think maybe he's already thinking about joining a Premier League side, which is like great achievement. Yeah. And I think even though the Czech league gets much, much better in the last 5 years, you cannot still compare it with the Premier League. So I think maybe after the playoff round of the Champions League, I think he's gonna go.
Basically, it looks like his weakness could be his nerves, right? Because last season, wasn't he sent off twice, got a red card for reckless challenges? And now again, he had a yellow card and it looked like he might have been sent off at one point. And he had to be subbed off because even his own teammates didn't believe that he should be on the pitch at the time, right? So there were some issues.
Yeah, definitely. I was shouting at the TV during the halftime, like, take him off. He cannot finish the match. He's going to get a red card and we're going to be down by one man and or down to 10 men. And I was quite worried. He's not gonna finish the game. So it was a good choice that I think it was like in 60th minute. He was subbed off, but
something like that. Yeah. But obviously there were a lot of positives as well. The performance of your arguably biggest star, Birmančević, the Serbian player.
Sparta is, I would say, quite strong on the wings, like Lukáš Haraslín, the Slovakian international, then of course, as you mentioned, Veljko Birmančević, the Serbian international. Amazing players offensively, but even though their biggest strength is like in the offensive part of game, they were also working very hard defensively, and that's the key why Sparta succeeded in the game.
Do you think Sparta Prague will manage to keep all these stars? Or because I've heard there is a lot of interest from outside to buy these players, you know? Still, the transfer window is not over. Do you think, can they hold on to them? Is it dependent on whether they get to the Champions League group stages? Because there's still one more round to go, right?
I think they are definitely going to hold on to Birmančević. Because he's younger than Haraslín, who is 28 years old. Even though he said that he's gonna stay at least for one season, but I think then when you are 29 years old in football, you are considered as, I wouldn't say old, but maybe not the youngest player. So it's gonna be really interesting to see the transfer speculation and maybe even the done transfer, but. I would say that I hope that they are going to stay in Sparta because they are so important for them.
Well, in the playoffs, so you will hear the Champions League anthem at Letná, right? So this always happens because it doesn't happen in the third round. Now it will, but your opponent is Malmö, which is the Swedish club. And I think you have some stuff to deal with, because in the past they beat you, I think 10 years ago or something, right?
It was 10 years ago. I still remember that.
You need a revenge. You need a revenge, yeah. So
definitely a revenge, because I think we won 4-2 the home game, and then we lost 2-0 at Sweden, I think. And back then there was still the away goal rule, which means it was 4-4 on aggregate, but they scored two goals at Letná, so we've been knocked out by back then really good side with the great players like Emil Forsberg, who played in Leipzig for, I would say, 10 years maybe. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the Swedish legend, Markus Rosenberg, the striker. They were really strong back then. They are really strong right now. But I think there is a huge chance that Sparta can knock them out.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, I look forward to that. I think your first game is away from home in Sweden. And then...
Yes.
And then you will take it all to Letna. So hopefully over those two games, you come out on top. And, you know, that's what matters ultimately, that we see Sparta Prague in the Champions League. And there is a chance there could be two Czech teams in the Champions League, because we also have Slavia Prague, who managed to overcome their opponent, the Belgian team, Union, Royal Union, something, I can't,
you know the name.
Saint-Gillois, perfect.
Yeah. Okay. I tried my best while pronouncing it, because my French is really, really bad.
It's still better, definitely better than mine, so.
yeah, it was like a really strong side, or at least the expectations were quite high with the Royal Union Saint-Gillois, but Slavia destroyed them in the home game, and I think the game in Brussels was, I think, I wouldn't say easy for Slavia, but they have such a huge experience from the Champions League. I think they were twice in the Europa League quarterfinals in last 7-8 years. So they just show that they are really, really strong side. And even though Royal Union is one of the best team in Belgium, I think Slavia definitely deserve to go through. So great performance. Slavia is off to a good start of the season, even though the first game in the Czech league wasn't that impressive. They drew 0-0 away from home. But right now, I think they are back on track, and I think they are going to be a good contender to LOSC Lille, the French side that they are going to play against. And I think it's like 60% to 40% to Lille in terms of...
It's still a French team, yeah, so strong opponent. But Slavia Prague is not without a chance, I think.
I think you sum it up perfectly.
I don't think they want... If you think of the way they look at it, the French, I don't think they wanted to play Slavia either, you know?
I think no one wants to play Slavia, because they play with such a high intensity. There is like, they are running like crazy. They are in amazing form, because the coach, Jindřich Trpišovský, he's like really tough when it comes to the fitness. So they ran a lot of kilometers in the preseason, and I think they are going to be a really, really strong opponent to any of the European teams. So I think they showed it last year when they beat AS Rome in the home game. So really, really great team.
Well, for you, obviously, you want Sparta Prague to be in the Champions League. For me, at least one of the two teams, I would be happy, but both would be like a fairy tale, honestly.
Absolutely. I can't remember if there was two Czech teams in the history. I think never.
Speaking of Sparta Prague, I heard, you tell me if I'm wrong, but the last time they were there was like 20 years ago. And it was when, and you know what? I actually went to that game, because at the time I was living in England, in London, and I went to the Arsenal-Sparta game. I remember that. I was sitting next to a British guy, and I was talking to him about Karol Poborský, that he had just been fired from Sparta, or something went on, and he had to go to České Budějovice. I remember that moment, you know.
I remember that as well, but I think it was the playoff round, because Sparta lost to Arsenal. I think it was 2006, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I think Tomáš Rosický just joined Arsenal.
Are you sure? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
I know it was at the old Highbury.
Oh my God, it was in the Highbury. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, then I remember. Yeah, that was in the group stage. Yeah, I
I think it
remember
was
the
in the
home
group
game.
stage. So Thierry Henry scored a goal. I think they lost 3-0, and Sparta, they showed nothing in that game. So,
All right, yeah.
unsurprisingly, but I was there as a Sparta Prague supporter back then, and then I turned into an Arsenal one.
Wow. Yeah, I remember right now because, Thierry Henry was a monster back there. So there was no way of stopping him. He was
No, no,
amazing.
no.
My favorite player growing up, Thierry Henry.
Yeah. Well, now I think your player Lukasz Haraslim is taking inspiration from him because of the way he scored his goal against Steaua was also impressive. It was that he bent his shot right into the side netting. This typical Henry-esque finish.
Exactly. That was something Thierry Henry could be teaching in the universities all around the world. So yeah,
football universities
was...
with his eyes closed and blindfolded and all that, right?
absolutely.
All right, so Stepan, so well, we have something to look forward to four teams still in the competitions, and I mean, three of them are already in the group stages. Now we need,
yes.
or yeah, I said it right, yeah. Now we need to
yes,
see.
Definitely.
Yeah, because Plzeň can if they lose, they can get the Conference League at least, and then we have Mladá Boleslav. They need to beat. Who are they playing? Do you know?
Paks. I think it's a Hungarian team, but I just know that it is like, I'm not even sure about the pronunciation, but I think it's Paks. Yeah.
Excellent. So let's look forward to that. Thank you very much, Stepan, for being on the podcast. It was a real pleasure. I have to say, just like Karel, you guys have amazing English. Like, can you tell us your secret?
Wow.
How did you get to this level? Because do you know what? Like, I don't always hear people with excellent English like yours. I mean, Czech people. I'm talking about Czech people specifically here. Yeah. So.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. I've never been anywhere outside of Czech Republic to learn English, which is something I'm quite sad about. But yeah.
So how did you pick it up then? Like, so what happened? So tell us, because we have people listening to this that are English learners. Yeah. So you could inspire them in their own English learning journey. So what made the difference for you?
I think mostly playing the video games in English, watching movies in English. I loved English commentary because when I was growing up, it was not that common in Czech Republic that you get the matches with the English commentary. So I was watching it on YouTube and anywhere I could get access to the matches. So mostly I would say it came from this. And yeah, I studied English since I was 9 years old, so already 21 years of experience. But
you know what, Stepan, you have a lot of people who went to school, and it's not only about how long you've been learning English. You have people who've been doing it for 20 years, 30 years, and they don't speak like you. So I think, in my opinion, of knowing English learners, what probably made the difference for you is what you did in your free time and the fact that you were so exposed to the English language. As you said, you played a lot of games. You probably also used the team speak. Yeah, you communicated with your friends, so with people you played with, and then watching the commentaries. That's a lot of listening input. It's so important, and that's what people used to do wrong in this country. And that's the teachers did not stress it enough. They probably didn't know. You know, after the fall of communism, we had to learn how to do it, and honestly, now you see a huge difference, right, between the people sometimes. So kudos to you.
I absolutely agree with you. Thank you so much again. And I just wanted to mention that I was at a language elementary school, or like with an advanced language learning. So we had English conversation classes with, I remember we had a guy from Australia, we had a guy from UK, we had an American lovely lady. So it was amazing, and I think it helped a lot, even though we had only one during the week, but it was amazing to talk with someone whose native language is English.
Absolutely. Okay, Stepan, great. Thank you very much. Good luck to you. in your future endeavors. And maybe it's not the last time I talk to you on this podcast. Who knows?
Thank you so much. It was an amazing experience. I have to say, I really enjoyed it here. And I think since I heard like two episodes, it's a great work you are doing. So kudos to you as well. And thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the Language Corner. As always, in the Language Corner, I'm going to be going through some language. We're going to be picking apart a little excerpt from Stepan's speech. Yeah, we're going to look at several phrases and some words, and I think it's going to be quite interesting. But before I do that, let me remind you that you can actually hire me as an English teacher if you need some regular English speaking practice, especially if it's about football. And then I am your guy and I will provide some feedback to you. And we can work on getting your English to the next level. That's the idea anyway. But back to what Stepan said. So I really like this excerpt. Slavia is off to a good start in the Czech League. Even though the first game in the Czech League wasn't that impressive, they drew 1-1. But right now, I think they are back on track and I think they're going to be a good contender to LOSC Lille. So this is what Stepan said. And there are a few things to look at. First of all, if you are off to a good start, that means that you have begun an activity successfully. We often use this when we're describing football matches. You would say that this team is off to a good start. Or you can think about the entire season, so as Stepan used it. So if you win your first two games of the season, we can say that you're off to a good start, right? It means you have begun the season successfully. Then Stepan said, even though the first game in the Czech League wasn't that impressive, if you say that, like it wasn't that impressive, it actually means it was not so good, right? It's kind of an understatement. It could also mean it was quite bad. The English language is known for its understatements. You say one thing and it's like indirectly saying something else, right? So if you say someone is not that fast, if you say this player is not that fast, essentially, because of the way the English language works, it kind of means that that player is very slow or quite slow, right? It's just an indirect way of saying that. Okay, then Stepan said that now they're back on track, which means Slavia basically drew their first game, but then they started winning again. Now they're back on track. So imagine an athlete running on a track and then they fall, I don't know, they trip over something and they have to stand up, and after that fall, they're back on track. So in the same way, a team, when they lose a few games or have a bad run, we could say that, you know, they're not performing well, they have some blips or hiccups, and then when they overcome this, we can say they are back on track, right? They are back to the winning ways again, right? And then finally, Stepan also said that I think they're going to be a good contender for LOSC Lille. Very nice word, a contender. Basically, if you are, for example, a title contender, it means you're one of the people that we will compete with for the title, okay? So it's like competition for someone, right? So if you say Slavia Prague are going to be a good contender, it means that Slavia Prague will give them a good run for their money, right? So hopefully this was useful. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I need to thank you for listening, for making it this far, because I know that if English is not your first language, it's not always easy to stay focused, right? To be attentive at all times. But congratulations, you made it till the end. You made it to the finish line. And what else remains to say? Well, don't forget to subscribe to the Footglish podcast. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can find it on YouTube as well. I have a channel called Teachers Danek, where I publish most of the episodes, not all of them, but most of them. So you can subscribe there as well if you fancy it. And yeah, that's pretty much it for today. Thank you very much for listening, and I will speak to you soon. Bye-bye.